Hey, take your Bible this morning. Everybody got your Bible in your hand? Show me your Bible. You got God's Word with you this morning? It's one thing I love about our church family. You believe God's Word and you bring your Bibles to church. Somebody asked me one time, should we use an electronic Bible? Well, you can if you want to. There's nothing technically wrong with that. I just would encourage you to bring a hard copy of the Bible with you. And here's why. You can write in it. And also, it's a lot less distracting when you get those notifications from those social media sites or from your email or text that, and here's what happens. Somebody's text goes off in church and they go, well, they should know I'm in church, right? But you can use your electronic devices, but I love for people to bring a hard copy of God's Word because it helps them stay focused in the Scripture. Can you agree with that? Yeah. Well, also, I've been asked a number of times, what translation do you preach from? I use the New American Standard Bible, and I love the New American Standard Bible because it is one of the most literal translations from the original text in the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. So I love that very much. Well, today we're going to continue, and I'm going to be as succinct as possible this morning so that we have adequate time for all that we need to do. But we've come here to worship and put our attention on the Word of God. And I've been sharing with you over these last several weeks a series of messages called Authentic. Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount that we might understand what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be picking up in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8, and we're going to look at what the Scripture says are the secrets for seeing God. The secrets for seeing God. I don't know if you have ever met many people or if you know anyone that has lost their eyesight, but I can't begin to imagine how devastating that would be. It's interesting because 95% of all blindness is because of disease. Only 5% of blindness occurs because of someone who has been injured in some way. I'll never forget Junior Hill telling the story one time about being in the home of a lady who was blind, and he, in the conversation, realized that this lady had not always been blind. And so Junior asked her, "Ma'am, do you mind if I ask you how you lost your eyesight?" And she said, "Well, I had a problem with my eyes that my eyes would not produce water. I couldn't cry. And because of this disease in my eyes, I ultimately ended up losing my eyesight." Now, I'll never forget what Junior said. In telling that story, he said, "Whenever we lose the ability to weep, we lose the ability to see what God may want us to see." In this passage of Scripture, the Bible teaches us that if we're going to see God, that sanctification is essential. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord." In the Old Testament, many of God's servants wanted to see him. David said, "So my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before him?" Job rejoiced and said, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible declares that only those that are pure in heart will see God. John MacArthur has said, "Purity of heart cleanses the eyes of the soul so that God becomes visible." In this passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We are challenged to have a pure heart so that we can see the living God. Now, there are four things that I'd like to point out and ask you to notice in this text this morning that I hope will help you and encourage you as you desire and long to live out a Christianity that is authentic and real. Notice, first of all, that God is concerned with the condition of your heart. God is most concerned with what is on the inside of man. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and in verse 26, the scripture says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, when you study the Beatitudes, what we notice is that there is a progression. When we understand the poverty of our spiritual condition, when we not only understand the poverty of our spiritual condition, but then we mourn over our sin, the Bible says that we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, and we become a part of the kingdom of God. We become a part of the kingdom of God's family. And as a consequence, we begin to express the life of Jesus to those that are around us. And in that, we begin to live in a way that exemplifies what it really means to be a part of God's family. Now, with that, the Bible says that only when God has taken out a cold, dead, sinful heart and given us new life in Jesus Christ can we actually see the living God. And so in this passage, it's made very clear that God is concerned with the condition of your heart. Now, the word for heart here is the word cardia. Of course, we get our word cardiac from that word in the Greek. William Barclay has said, this beatitude demands from us the most exacting self-examination. Psalm 51, verse 6, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 73, verse 1 says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Over and over again, the Bible reminds us that God is concerned with the condition of our heart. You may remember that we're going to study in a few more verses that Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, outwardly, the scribes and Pharisees were as religious and morally upstanding as you could imagine that they were. If you looked at them, they dressed right, they talked right, they said the same things, they were religious people that did religious duties. But if you remember, Jesus looked at them one day and said, you are whitewashed tombs. You look all clean on the outside, but you are dead men's bones on the inside. Listen to me. God is more concerned with the condition of your heart because while you may conform your behavior and your actions on the outside, your heart may still be desperately wicked and sinful. Only really God knows what's in our hearts. God is most concerned with your heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. In Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. How did he know this? And that, listen, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus asked a group of scribes and Pharisees, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? You know, I can be asked by my wife or someone to do something, and I can outwardly, seemingly comply or say, yes, I'll do that. But inside, I could be seething with resentment and bitterness and anger. And no matter what I do on the outside, ultimately, God knows what's on the inside of my heart. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Jeremiah 17, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, what do? I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. God is concerned about the condition of your heart. The second thing you need to see is that you are blessed when you are pure in heart. Now, the word for pure that's used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, is the word katharos. It's the word from which we get our word cathartic. It means pure, unmixed, unadulterated, cathartic. There are two things about the fact that you are blessed when you're pure in heart. Here's what they are. Blessedness is the result of purity in heart, and purity of heart is the condition for blessedness. The problem with sin is that it is not necessarily the world around us, but the worldliness that is within us, which we cannot escape by living in isolation. In other words, sometimes we think if we just isolate ourselves, then we're going to live morally upright and pure. Some parents think, if I can just protect my children from everything that is around them, they're going to be morally upright and pure. Listen to me. God is concerned with the condition of your heart because it is only the reality of being in a blessed condition when your heart has been made pure. Psalm 119 says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, whose walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek after him with all their heart. Now notice the construction of Matthew 5:8. Blessed, that is a statement of the condition of a person. A person is blessed who is pure in heart, and the result of being pure in heart is that a person we'll see God. But if you're going to be blessed, it requires that you have a pure heart. Not only is God concerned with the condition of our hearts, but God says you're blessed when you're pure in heart. But here's the third thing. Purity is the grace that makes God visible. Purity is the grace that makes God visible. It's very interesting in the Greek text of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, our translation says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But right before, the word for God, theos, is the word that is the definite article for thee. So literally, you could translate this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see thee, God. I believe that Jesus is wanting us to understand something here, and that is that while men make up in their own minds what they think God is like or who God is, it is only when you have a pure heart that you can actually see God. Purity is the grace that makes God visible. In John 14, verse 7, Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. How? Verse 9, have I been with you so long and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And speaking on the text here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Dr. Sadler said, purity enables it to see him who is invisible. It sees no shape, but it sees God in all things, in the fair face of nature, in the order and harmony of creation, above all in the Word, in the sacraments, in the dealings of providence, in the power of grace, it sees God. Now it sees him through a glass darkly, but hereafter it shall see him face to face in the person of Jesus Christ. Years ago, when the Emperor Trajan was dealing with a rabbi by the name of Joshua, He said, you teach that your God is everywhere and you boast that he resides among your nation. I would like to see him. To which the rabbi responded, God's presence is indeed everywhere, but he cannot be seen. No mortal eye can behold his glory. To which Trajan responded, well, suppose we try to look first at one of his ambassadors. And so the emperor said, let's see this ambassador. So the rabbi took him into the open air at noonday and asked him to look at the sun in all of its blazing splendor. To which Trajan said, I can't. The light dazzles me. To which the rabbi said, you're unable to endure the light of one of God's creatures, and can you expect to behold the resplendent glory of the Creator? Would not such a light annihilate you? Listen to me. The only reason that you and I can see God, it's not that we see a form, it's not that we see a figure, it's that we see the Father when we see his Son. And only when Jesus Christ has made you pure by saving grace, when he's given you his mercy, when God has come to you and you've repented of sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's taken out that heart of stone and he's given you a heart of flesh, when he gives you his own self, the Bible says that he makes us righteousness. Christ is the righteousness of God, and we become the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, listen to me, we may not see a form or a figure, but everywhere we look, we see God because he is resplendent in his glory. God's concerned about the condition of your heart. And the Bible tells us you are blessed when you're pure in heart. But the Bible also tells us purity is the grace that makes God visible. Now here's the fourth thing. Listen up closely. No one can have a pure heart. No one can truly be blessed, and no one can see God outside of the person and work of Jesus Christ. No one. Why? Because it's the appropriation of the gospel for salvation that makes you pure. It's the application of the gospel every single day in your life. What that means is, listen, should we live right? Yes. Should we speak properly? Yes. Should we act kindly and justly and mercifully? Yes. Should we be everything that God wants us to be? Absolutely. But it is out of the overflow of Christ in us who has transformed us. It is not our working up some ability to be right. It is not our ability to somehow sustain morality. It is not our ability to live in a way on our own that pleases God. It is only when we walk by faith in the Son of God who has saved us and is gloriously saving us every single day. And so every day of my life, I have appropriated the gospel for salvation, but now I am going to apply the gospel every single day in my life so that how I live brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Listen to this. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is the bosom of the Father, he, speaking of Jesus, has explained him. 1 Peter 1:8, and though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The prophet Habakkuk said it like this in verse 13 of chapter 1. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You cannot look on a wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? God doesn't look on our wickedness. But the psalmist said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. God's concerned with what's inside of us. And when you walk in purity before God and holiness, it's not a desire to perform. It's not a desire to please others. It is a desire to walk in the presence of the resplendent glory of a God who is so dazzling that the only way to see Him everywhere you go and in everything that you do is to walk closely with Him in intimacy and in holiness. Somebody says to you, when were you saved? Tell them how you came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But then when God says, not only have you been saved, but you are gloriously being saved, don't just tell them about the moment that you repented and believed on Jesus, but you share with them how God is gloriously saving you every single day and conforming you to the image of His Son. The print medium and even video and everything else often intentionally distorts what we write. Chuck Colson says, over the years since becoming a Christian, I've always deliberately explained that I have accepted Jesus Christ, and these words are invariably translated into Colson's professed religious experience. I discovered that one major U.S. daily, as a matter of policy, will not print the two words Jesus Christ together. Colson tells a story. A woman named Rose Crawford had been blind for 50 years. "I just can't believe it," she gasped as the doctor lifted the bandages from her eyes after her recovery from delicate surgery in an Ontario hospital. She wept for joy when the first time in her life a dazzling and beautiful world of form and color greeted eyes that were now unable to see. The amazing thing about the story is that 20 years of her blindness had absolutely been unnecessary. You see, Rose Crawford had lived with blindness for 20 years longer than she needed to, because through modern medicine and technology, doctors had developed a surgery that would have been enabling her to receive back her sight that she had lost at the age of 30. The doctor said she just figured there was nothing that could be done about her condition, but much of her life could have been different. Jesus said, people who are authentic followers of me, who belong in my Father's kingdom, live in such a way that they walk in the resplendent glory of God and see Him every day because they have hearts that have been made pure. And sometimes the reason that we don't see God is because sometimes what we do is we allow our hearts to get cold, hard, sin-filled, and indifferent. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you really saw the Lord? He said, that's God. We see it at the birth of a child, don't we? We see it when something miraculous happens, but sometimes day to day we go through our lives and we fail to see God at work. Sometimes it's because we've harbored bitterness. Sometimes it's because we've held on to a sin that nobody knows anything about. I think one of the greatest sins that lies in the hearts of many Christians is unforgiveness. And it creates bitterness. And it makes it hard to see God. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you're here today and you say, Daryl, I have never been made pure by Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I don't know Him, but I'd like to know Him. Would you come and let me talk with you or one of our pastors? Maybe, just maybe this morning, you need to come today and come to this altar. You know, last week, the altar, just people came and prayed over the last few weeks. Both our services. Is there something God wants you to leave at the altar this morning? Maybe God's telling you to join our fellowship. We'd love for you to do that.